Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, series number two, getting underway tonight. I'm Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer, my boss, sports editor of the Union Tribune, Jay Posner. Jay, I know you were there yesterday. Talk to me, Jay. What did you think of Chris Paddock, and will they not just waive the five-year waiting period, but can they put him in the Hall of Fame before he retires?
Before he retires? How about before his next start? I mean, come on.
I love this kid. I'm joking, but I realize that we've all lost our minds. But what did you think?
You know what? I think it's worth losing our minds a little bit. You got to, but no, I mean, realistically, you can look at it objectively and say that Chris Paddock looked really, really, really good. Now, there are circumstances that they were playing the Giants stink, all that stuff, but you know, watching Chris Paddock pitch, he looks like a guy who's going to be a star. And you just hope with guys like this that everything stays the same and that he gets a chance. He's already had the one big injury, that he gets a chance now to show how good he can be, because he looks like he could be really good. Now, Kevin, I do want to point out, though, this is a historic podcast, because never before, and we could have been doing these for 3 years now, 4 years even, never before have we done one where the Padres were over 500.
I feel like Andy Green right now.
I know it's going to take It's going to take a little getting used to, but they've even got a 2-game cushion on it. But back to Paddock, I don't know how you could not be impressed with him. I thought, you know, I went home after the game and watched the replay of the Pablo Sandoval at bat. And even the pitch that Sandoval hit almost 400 feet to center field was a pretty good pitch. I mean, it was out of the strike zone. But sometimes, you know, sometimes hitters just beat pitchers, and that's what happened. They made him work a little more the second time through the order, but he looked great. I mean, he's got three pitches that work, and he's got control, and he looks like there's nothing that's too big for him. He looks like he knows he belongs. So I don't know. I'm not telling you anything that you probably don't think. Times 100.
Well, I will say, you're right, Jay. I mean, it was the Giants, just like it was spring training, you know, when we were all excited before. But look, it's more than he's handled everything that's put in front of him. You know, you can only do what you can do, right? But it's that the way he's gone about it, we don't need to gush anymore. We have 20 years of Cy Young caliber pitching to be able to talk about Chris Paddock. Jay, I guess my other big takeaway is, like, Manny Machado is 3-for-15, and the Padres are 3-1. I think that there's not very many people who would expect that his first year will be like Eric Hosmer's first year. There's great confidence that Manny Machado is going to be Manny Machado. And so, wait, they're 3-1. He's making defensive plays. He even beat out what seemed like it was going to be an inning double play to get the game-winning RBI, his first as a Padre. I think that's a positive takeaway 4 games into the season.
No, I would agree with that. And you know, I think it's one of those things. Stats are always overemphasize good and bad at the start of the year, because Manny Machado, I'm sure through his career, has had dozens and dozens of stretches where he's gone 3-for-15. Several each year, in fact. But in the end, you would expect his numbers to be about what they usually are. Yesterday, and the hustling thing, you know, he got down the line, he beat that play by about an inch, 2 inches. Even if Bochy could have gotten his challenge done in time, it wouldn't have mattered. They were going to keep it. They were going to keep it there as safe. But I think that would have been a bad moment for a double play for many reasons. But the energy in the place yesterday when he came up in that situation, that's just something we haven't seen a lot of in recent years. I mean, the crowd was chanting Manny. I mean, people are dying for this guy to be great. And so far, he's been great. He's been great defensively. He made a catch in the net the other day. He made a diving catch across the foul line of a bunt. He made a great play yesterday, you know, throwing from his knees, as did Fernando Tatis Jr. Made a great play in the hole. I mean, the defense has looked very good, especially on the left side of the infield, which is what we expected. And it's hard to think Manny Machado's suddenly going to forget how to hit here. Now, I said that about Eric Hosmer last year for about 4 months, and it looked like he did. But this year, so far, the last couple of games, you know, I think, what, do you have three hits on Saturday night?
Yep.
And then he had a big hit yesterday to drive in the first run. So
off the top of my head, I believe that the guys hitting in front of Machado were 8 for 13. I updated that in my head, but I believe that's the truth.
I remember seeing an 8 for 13 stat. I don't know if that was the last one. It might be 8 for 14. I don't know, but whatever it is, that, yeah, I mean, guys are obviously hitting there. I thought it was fascinating yesterday that Bochy walked Hosmer to get to Machado. I mean, I kept flashing back to last year, like, geez, did you watch Hosmer hit last year?
It almost worked, though.
It did almost work, and it was one of those things where, you know, that was one of those situations where the manager would look like such a genius if it happened. And I don't think he looks bad that it didn't happen, but it's just he would get so much credit if it worked, and it almost, to Bochy's credit, it almost did. But I feel kind of bad for Bruce. I mean, he's had such a great career.
Oh.
He's been through so much in terms of bad teams, and he's had so many great moments as well. I mean, here as a player and a manager, and obviously in San Francisco, and he just doesn't look like he has a whole lot to work with up there. And he's going to end up as a Hall of Fame manager with a losing record in the regular season. It's just kind of incomprehensible to
the ring is the thing
about.
Jay, the ring.
That's what I've heard. So when are the Padres going to be sized for their rings, Kevin? Is that happening? Happening this week, or maybe not enough time? But it's coming, right?
2021.
Oh, okay.
Hey, the Diamondbacks are coming to town, and I want to talk about two things briefly. The Diamondbacks, who might not be much better than the Giants, and who might not be much better than the Giants for a while, because neither one of their farm systems are worth a darn. But the Giants actually have money that they will spend at some point, probably. Let's talk about them. And then I want to talk about the pitching and the pitching staff and how it started off well and how the Padres are still trying to find a starting pitcher and what they might do. But there's a guy pitching, as we tape this on Monday morning, that Merrill Kelly is his name, and he's never pitched in the majors. He had success in Korea. He's been in the independent leagues when he was here before he went to Korea. He won a job in spring training. Zach Greinke and Robbie Ray, very good pitchers, will follow him. But tonight, Merrill Kelly making his major league debut against Matt Strom, making his first real start as a Padre. This guy, look, I'm excited to see Matt Strom.
No, I am too. We've talked about Strom before. We're both fans of what Strom did last year and what we think he can be this year. I'll be honest, I'd never heard of Merrill Kelly until I opened the paper this morning and saw his picture there on page 7. You know, this is the kind of guy that in the past Padre teams, Merrill Kelly would throw 7 innings of 3-hit shutout ball against a past Padre team. And there's no reason it might not happen again tonight. They also
baseball.
Yeah, exactly. They also might get 5 runs off him in the first inning. You never know. The Diamondbacks have had huge pitching problems in the first week. I think the Dodgers scored 42 runs in the 4 games up in L.A., hit 8 home runs on opening day. Arizona's got some offense, though. I mean, they scored more than 20, I think 23 runs maybe, so that's more than twice as many as the Padres scored over the weekend. And, you know, the Dodgers have some decent pitchers, and Arizona battered them around. One guy had a good weekend was Adam Jones, the San Diegan, who will be back home here tonight, and Peralta also had a big weekend. So they've got some guys who can hit the ball. Mm-hmm. Look, as we saw last year when the Padres were terrible, but still there's times where they're going to win 2 out of 3, you're going to lose 2 out of 3, however it goes. You just got to look at each game, but it's always interesting to see another team come in. But I think they'll test the Padres, the pitching staff that you mentioned, that only gave up 5 runs in 4 games. I think they're going to have a better test this week against Arizona's lineup than they had against San Francisco's, don't you think?
Yeah, even without Paul Goldschmidt, you've got what you would think are younger, because, oh man, are the Giants old. But you got younger and you've got better hitters, and it will be. I thought Brandon Belt's quote yesterday was interesting. I'm not sure if he was talking about Paddock, and if he was, he's a big jerk. No, I'm kidding. But Brandon Belt, the Giants' first baseman, made a valid point. I do. I'm. Hey, look. I think it's great what you have, the improvements that Joey Lucchesi and Eric Lauer have made. And I'm big on Strom and Paddock. Congratulations to Nick Margavichis, who made his major league debut. But really, these aren't like overwhelming guys. And the Giants first baseman, Brandon Belt, said that very thing. He said they're good. They know how to pitch. We'll see what happens when we face them next time. That is a great point about this Padres rotation, that, especially Lauer, Lucchesi, and Margavichis, for however long he's here. These aren't like future aces, at least how the Padres see them. That's not me saying that. That's the Padres. Strom and Paddock may be, but we're gonna see how this develops. The Padres believe, they're monitoring it. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but they believe in order to contend, their pitching staff has to be, I would say, deeper. Guys that are somebody that can take some innings and keep their bullpen fresh. So they continue to try to work something out.
Okay, so that leads me to my question for you then, is where do things stand in terms of acquiring a pitcher? What are the chances of that? I mean, you see Dallas Keuchel's name come up every other day. One problem with a guy like Keuchel is he hasn't been pitching. We always hear about how the pitchers need 6 weeks of spring training. The spring training has to be as long as it is because the pitchers need all that time to get ready. So even if they were to sign Keuchel today, when is he contributing to the team? A month from now?
Because he's been pitching, it's not like what he'd have to do. So we're talking about, I mean, this is a pro who knows how to get ready. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, sign today. He pitches in May. And I did not know it was going to come out like that. Sign today, pitch in May. That's my slogan for the day. Oh my goodness, I can't stop. Here's the issue with Dallas Keuchel. Wants multiple years. I don't think they've even got him down to 2 years. Wants 15 mil average. So you're going to commit that much money to a guy who, if you really loved him, you would have signed him at 20. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. And he would have signed him a month ago, so that he would have been helping him right now.
Right. And then, let me just say this. I've got a note that I'm just waiting because it's somewhat timeless, but it's written and it's ready to put out there. The Padres players talk about it like all the time. Sitting in their clubhouse is Denelson Lamet, who they believe is an ace, mm-hmm. and Garrett Richards, who has been an ace in the past. And so there's that. And you're talking about Keuchel long term. And then you've got Paddock and you've got Strom, Lucchesi, Lauer, maybe Margavichis, but you've got a lot of guys. Oh, Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, Adrian Morahone. What are you going to do?
Well, and you didn't even mention the guys that are going to be at Triple-A, like Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill.
Forgive me. Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm saying is, if Dallas Keuchel was 2015 Dallas Keuchel, Cy Young Award winner, by the way, and they loved him, that conversation could be a little more muted. But given what the entire league believes, that Dallas Keuchel is not what Dallas Keuchel was, and the money that's still involved, and the pipeline that the Padres have, and the guys they already have on their roster, on the DL and not, or on the IL and not.
IL.
It's a complicated thing, man.
If he was, if you got Dallas Keuchel and he was decent, not Cy Young Dallas Keuchel, but not stiff Dallas Keuchel, it does allow you, with all this pitching depth, you could make a trade or something like that. But I
think they sign him because I think what you're saying makes sense, Jay. And I think they know that they need an innings eater, and he can't be worse than James Shields. And James Shields would, we're talking about 150 to 170 innings here.
Right. That's interesting to hear you say that you think they sign him, but I think it needs to be done soon because, this, as we talked about, I mean, it's a situation where you just can't sign a guy today, and it's not, signing a football player and he pops in 4 days later and carries 25 times. He's got to get ready, and while he gets ready, that's a guy's only going to start 32 games anyway. He's already missed one. You figured while he's getting ready, he's going to miss four or five more.
And at 31, okay, so now you're at 25, and then, oh, well, what if there is one injured list
right
today, and now you're down to 20, and you're paying him 15 mil? And I really should have said, look, I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm making a somewhat educated guess, and I probably should have said I wouldn't be surprised if they signed him versus I'm not making a prediction. That was a little rash. I got excited. Paddock Day was just yesterday, Jay. I'm still kind of running on adrenaline here. Anyway. You know what? I'm telling everybody this. I just had a thing with my, I take my car and guys are asking me about the team. It's all weekend people asking. Here's my answer. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. They're a heck of a lot more exciting, more enjoyable to watch. That's what we know.
No, I agree. That's the bottom line. Like I said, yesterday, the scene when Machado came up with the bases loaded, I mean, that's just something people haven't gotten that excited about. It's still not to the point where, you know, people aren't standing with there was a point yesterday where Paddock had struck out the first two guys in the inning and he had two strikes, and I was kind of thinking, okay, people are going to get up and start cheering, and like nobody moved, and I was like, okay, it's still not there yet, but
right.
and I'm not a huge fan of people cheering on every two strike pitch, but I think that was a situation where he was trying to strike out the side. I kind of expected that. In his second major league inning, I expected a little more of a reaction than that. But look, that's the kind of stuff that is going to come down the road and everything. But it's more. You're right. More people are talking about the Padres. I just you hope that people are going to be realistic, but. You know, I guess part of being a fan for a lot of people is not being realistic. It's just letting the moments happen as they do, and you know, they just won a series 3 out of 4 against the Giants. There were way more Padre fans in the ballpark this weekend, as Austin Hedges mentioned to you, way more Padre fans than Giant fans, which rarely happens. Let's see. I'm curious what kind of crowds they draw the next three nights. I mean, these are games that in the past few years. I don't even think they would announce 20,000 for any of these games. So let's see what they draw the next couple nights, and then Wednesday afternoon, and that'll give us a little bit of an indication as well as to how the fever is taking hold in town. But it's definitely different than in the past, and I think everyone should enjoy that and for as long as it lasts, and hopefully this isn't, you know, look, if it falls apart at some point this year, it doesn't mean that the whole situation is a disaster. It just means that they're just not quite ready yet. That's what we've all expected.
And I think that's what they expect in the building. Not that it will fall apart, but that's the mindset. What you just said is the mindset in the building. Like, and that is their big, like, it's a fascinating time to be AJ Preller right now and to be the guys that tell AJ whether he can spend money or not, because you have this vision of what the future is. You don't want to screw it up and you want to maximize its potential, but you're also at a point where, well, wait a minute, maybe if we make some moves, we're like going to accelerate this process. It's a fascinating time, the convergence of the future and the present right now.
Right. No, I agree. So, all right. Well, we will leave it here for now, and then we will do this again in St. Louis. I'm not sure if we'll do it. We'll have to talk whether we do it Thursday before the game there or wait until the off day on Friday.
It is an early game. It's an afternoon. It's actually the Cardinals' home opener.
Right.
I could go either way, Jay, but you know what we'll do? We'll talk about that when we're done with the podcast.
Let's see what happens. But for now, we'll leave everybody. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the homestand here.
All right. Thank you.